This will always be your home away from home, all right? Can we love on Ray here?
Love you, man. Love you too.
Praise God. Come on, let's give God some praise in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. I want to pray for myself real quick, and then we'll share a little bit, and then I'll get out your way. Let's pray. Father, thank you just for this moment. I bless you, God. I thank you, God, for these words that you have put in my heart. I've prepared, I've thought, I've even studied, God, and I ask now that the Holy Spirit would use me as you please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Embassy Church, what up? Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge Pastor Dave and Pastor Carol and thank them for this opportunity to be here. I am honored to stand before you guys this morning and thanking the Lord for allowing grace to be in Pastor Dave's heart. I can honestly say in life, you know, you learn lessons and things that you do are not always pleasing. And so I'm grateful to you and to Pastor Carol for allowing us to be with you guys this morning. And I'm just excited about what God is doing and some of the things that Pastor Dave has shared a couple weeks back when we met up. Just amazing things and amazing things that these missionaries are doing all around the world. And it's just amazing to see God call folks to certain places. And I always get excited about that, excited about where God is calling people, because I know that there's hope. There's hope for others. There's hope for us. You know, whenever my friends relocate or God calls them, crazy enough, Lamont, to go to L.A. and move from Tennessee to D.C., I always marvel at the faith that people have when God calls them to a certain place. And so I'm grateful. Good to see so many of you guys that we've known, that we've seen, and just excited to be home again. And I always look at you, Pastor Dave, as really a spiritual father. You know, someone that really prays for us, that really, despite some challenges in a relationship, you still pray for us. And I thank you for that. And I love you guys. And so I thank you so much for that. I do want to recognize one of my Parkview alumni brothers, Brother Dave here. Kevin was telling me about Dave, and I'm like, yo, And so I saw him. I said, of course I know Dave, man. So it's good to see you here this morning. And then, of course, Ray has been with me. I think Ray was 10 when I met him, and God has allowed us to be in a brotherly relationship. I tease and call him my son because he has somewhat of my name. It's not spelled correctly, but and it's not pronounced right, but that's Raymond Cheeks. And Ray, how old are you now? 20, what? 29, God. And so, you know, 10 years old is actually when I met him. Kim knows this part. His sister and I actually dated in high school. And but, you know, we're all really great friends now. And his mom has been a mother to me, and I call her mom. And so I'm just excited to see him here and see what God is doing in his life, you know. As young people, as young adults try to find their way in the world, it's just amazing to see. And so, of course, my wife and family are here, and I'm grateful for them for all of the practicing and ministry they allow me to do, and I'm just excited to be here. I'm not going to be before you long this morning. I think we've already had the meal, and so I'll focus more on the dessert. Can somebody say, all right? All right. So I'm going to focus a little bit on the dessert. And so our scripture this morning is going to come a familiar passage from Mark, the 5th chapter, and we'll start at verse number 25, and we'll read it. Do you have it here? Okay, awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Tim. So can we read this together, right? Can we just not read it, but let's just kind of recite this together as we allow the words of this particular story to just resonate in us. And let's read it together. Verse number 25 says, Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all of that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the... Verse 30 says, and Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, what? I close. But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Verse 34, come on, let's say this last part like we mean it. And he said to her, start again. And he said to her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. So over the last year or so, I have really been through a transition, right? A period of transition. There has been death in the family. Many of you may know, in February 28th, and to be exact, I lost my father. February 28th, we find out that dad is gone. We knew that his time was coming. We knew that his condition had worsened, and we knew that it would not be long. In fact, my prayer actually to God was, God, either heal him or take him away. Because we began to see this individual who had suffered. We began to see an individual who had labored breathing, who was experiencing pain in his body, two forms of cancer, and couldn't walk from here to the door. There was some stuff that was going on in his life. And so my prayer to God was, God, either heal him or please take him away. Because when I call him in the evenings to see if they made it home, my thoughts and my heart would go out to this man who suffered for years and years of pain, years and years of being in this condition. And I wondered, how in the world does a man who has always felt wounded, and sometimes he felt wounded just because he was a man, sometimes just wounded because of his lifestyle and his choices and everything else. And so we wrestle with that. We wrestle with the fact or the notion that this man is in pain, and how dare we be selfish to keep an individual here with us who is in pain, who has suffered. We often used to call him the most misunderstood man in the family, because he was the one that didn't always have the green, the finances. He was not the one who had the biggest house or the most amazing or extravagant cars like some of the other rich black folks in the family. And so he was always talked about. He was always one that they were talking about and didn't necessarily want to be around, because sometimes he could use some words. And I heard Pastor Dave in his prayer this morning that when we hear your name, Jesus, that it's not in a curse, but he would use certain words. Sometimes, if you get my drift, he would use words that you just didn't want to affiliate yourself with. There were times in his life when he would be overcome with agony and pain and loneliness. And so we prayed, Lord, please, if you don't desire to heal him, which we believe, we had faith and we prayed and we kept praying, but we also realized that sometimes life just happens. Life is this thing that sometimes hurts, and sometimes decisions and not the best choices are made on our behalf, but yet and still Jesus died on the cross so that we may believe again, that we may have life and to have it more abundantly, life in all its fullness, as World Vision calls it. But the decisions and choices. And so I'm not sure about you, but there are some things that I had to be freed from in my life. And there were some decisions and choices that I've made that I'm not so proud of, but I am glad to know Jesus. Glad to know Jesus. And so here my dear father lays, and a military man, served his country in the Marine Corps. And he would say often to us, if there's any branch that you should go in, it was the Navy or the Air Force. He said, stay away from the Marines. And so I said, okay, I'm going to stay away from all three of them. So I served my country in the Army JROTC. And so celebrate me on Veterans Day. But here is a man who had so many challenges. And I remember back in 1997, my mom awakes us, and it's about 6:30 in the morning. About 30 minutes later, we would have left out for school. At that time, I was a student at Montgomery College in Tacoma Park, Maryland. And my mom wakes us up, and I remember her coming frantically in the room and said, "There's something wrong with your daddy. There's something wrong. I can't wake him up." And so we dashed down. At that time, they were living in the basement of the home. They had the basement set up, and so we ran down, and this was during his addiction. This was during that time where we were not so proud of him. This was during that time that I wish he would have died, and I prayed when he did die in February, "Lord, why didn't you take him when I hated him? Why do you take him now when we come to love him, when he's come to know you as king? Why would you take him now?" And so that was just something that I had to wrestle with. Why didn't you take him when we hated his guts, when he was abusive, and when he didn't love himself? Why didn't you take him then? So he takes him February the 28th, but I remember 1997, and my mom comes, and we run down, and all we saw was this man laying on his bed, convulsing, looked like he was demon-possessed, and we didn't know what was going on, but our first notion was that this man was ODing off crack or something, and we didn't understand it. We just knew that we wanted him to go. We wanted him to die. And so we call the emergency services and 911, and they come. And they come, and so he gets to the hospital in time, and they say, "You brought him here just in the nick of time. You brought him right on time." And so the doctors come in, and at this point, we still don't know what's going on, and we're sitting in this little room at Washington MedStar Hospital, and I remember the doctor coming in, and he says to us, "Your father has sustained a brain aneurysm." This brain aneurysm, where this blood vessel dilation or the ballooning of this artery has now burst inside of his head. And because of this blood vessel and how important it is, Dr. Joe, there's blood that's on the left side of his brain. And he's fighting for his life. I remember the doctor saying to us, and he was speaking some of these medical terms that I didn't understand. And so I went back later on to Google some of that stuff to find out what is it, what causes it, how does it happen? And the doctors had no reason. They said that it's just in some men it happens that way. And so here it is, before my dad passed away, before he passed away in February, he told me, he said, "The night before I had the aneurysm," and this was years later, this happens 1997, this is 2013 in January, he says to me, "God has been good to me." And he would say that all the time. He would say that all the time, even when he was cooking. "God has been good to me." And he would always use the same testimony. You ever been around people that only use the same testimony? And so my brothers and I, we would laugh because he would talk to dogs. He would talk to squirrels. He would share that with anybody. And so we would laugh. "Oh, here he go again. Here he goes again, sharing the same testimony." But it was important to him. It was powerful. And so God used him now to go back into that same neighborhood. We talked years ago about going back into the desert. And so God sends this man back into the desert in Northwest DC. And now he's out there with individuals who were just like him, who were struggling, who need a savior, who need a Lord. And he's there sharing his same little aneurysm story. And so I remember the night before, he said, "Hey, that was wild. Because before, the night before, I had taken 12 Percocets and a fifth of Hennessy." And we didn't know this. We had no idea. We had no idea. The doctor's saying, "Hey, we don't know how this was caused." And he says, "I remember it very clearly." And he asked God, "Please take the taste of alcohol and drugs out of my life." And so in 1997, he put it down, and God immediately took it out, to the point where he asked God to take the taste of alcohol out of his mouth. And so every year past that time, he had to have his food piping hot because he couldn't taste it. And he said, I'm not gonna complain about that. I'm not gonna complain, because I asked God to take the taste of alcohol out of my mouth. What is that to warming my food up and making it hotter?" So anyway, so he's laying down in intensive care. And we go in, and I dreaded to go see him every day. I dreaded it because in my sick, twisted, and hurt mind, I'm saying to myself, "God, why did you allow him to live?
Now here I am, he's fighting for his life. What better opportunity and a time to have a coach, a Joe Gibbs? What better opportunity now to have a team captain who is praying for you, who's pushing and encouraging you to get up out of the rut that you're in? What better opportunity? And here I am, the junior deacon. The deacon, I think by that time I had been ordained as a full-fledged Baptist deacon, and I got on my black and white suit, and I got my tie right, and my tie matches my socks, and my socks match my underwear. I tease them now, right? But here I am, and I'm hating, as the young people say, I'm hating, because I don't really want you to come up out of this state. I don't really want to see you walk back into the house because of the memories. Because of the pain that you put us through, I don't want to see you again. And yet and still, God continues to save this man. Every day we expected to go here, a negative report. And every day we got there, it seemed like God had been working. Every day it seemed like he got stronger and better and bigger. See, the reason I didn't necessarily dislike him, it was his behavior. It was the stuff that he had engaged in that upset me and caused me to hate the individual, when really I needed to hate the sin in the person and not the individual, as the man of God. Yeah, but I'm at church and I'm praying, I'm praising, and here I am in a closet because I hate my father. Because of all the stuff, the abuse that I've seen my mom go through, because of the money that you've taken from us, that you robbed us in a summer youth employment program, and you've taken our money and saying, I'll give it back to you in a first, and we being dumb and idiots giving it to you. The reason why we did is because we didn't want to see her beat anymore. So here, take this, go, get high. I know what you're going to do with it. So he lays there. And the blood, as it begins to run, they finally go in. And here's the point. Here's the point. And then I want to move on. Here's the point. As he lays there and the doctors come in, they said, we've gone in and we were able to stop the blood. And here's the question this morning. Here is the question that I want to ask. Here's the thought that came from this particular passage. I know it's about faith, but I want you to trust God at this moment and just to hear. Here's the thing. So as the doctor goes in and he puts this clamp on this artery as it begins to stop, and they were able to dry it up. Here's the thought. How did the doctor see past the blood? How did they see past the blood to go right to the symptom to stop this thing? Was it the x-ray? What was it? It was a unique ability to see the blood and the condition of this individual, to treat his symptom, to stop it so that he could have new life. And so this morning, I want to introduce you to my friend Shaquita. Verse 25 says, and now there was a certain woman. There was a woman out of man. There was a creation of God who was now just bleeding, and not only bleeding, but she was hemorrhaging for 12 long years. And so she smelled like that. She appeared like that. Anemia now has to set in because of the blood loss that she has experienced. And now here she is in front of everybody down in Columbia Heights. And YWAM and Jesus decide, yo, we going out to do some evangelism. And she sees it on her friend's Facebook page, because she was in the library, and you know, everything's free in the library, that you can use the computers. And so I see a lot of our homeless brothers and sisters in the library. I see them in there over on the computers. And so she was in the library, my spiritual imagination, just go with me. And so she's in Columbia Heights, and she realized that tomorrow Jesus is coming. And I've heard some amazing things. I saw a PowerPoint presentation of him. I saw the pictures of Jesus on Instagram. And so I'm going there tomorrow because my change is coming. And so she realizes, and so she gets herself together. She didn't wash because she couldn't. She didn't put on a little extra perfume, the Beyonce or whoever, because she didn't have it. The Bible says that she was not only emotionally drained, spiritual imagination, but she was also financially drained, because the Bible says that she spent everything that she had on the doctors and her condition grew worse. So she finds herself in the adopt-a-block neighborhood. And she's there, and Jesus is there with YWAM, and she sees them over there. There's Jonathan, there's Noel, oh man, there's Doug. And so she goes over, and she realizes that, you know, I'm not here for the Chipotle. I'm not here for the Starbucks right now. But I'm here because Jesus is here. And the Bible says she goes up, and she says, if I can touch just the hem of his garment, I know that my change can happen. I know that there's something in me that can take place because I reached Jesus, not just because of what I'm doing with my hand, but because of what I believe. Because of my faith, I know that my change can come, and I can have my identity back because no one wants to touch me. No one talks to me. No one wants to be with me. No one asks me to sing praise and worship. Nobody has asked me if I need a job. I got my sign that says I'm homeless and I need some money. The power to see. How are you able to see past the condition and the wounds of people? The blood to me not only represents kind of a female experience, but it also reminds me of wounded people. I've never seen anybody bleeding without a cut. Never seen anybody bleeding without a wound or some type of crashing into something. Don Cheadle in the movie Crash said that people crash into one another just so that we can feel something. Because we've been wired and we've been created to belong. We've been created to have relationships with people. And now here comes my friend Shakita down in Columbia Heights, who has been created for change, who has been wired to belong, to be a part of something, and now because of her condition, she is an outcast of society, and nobody wants to touch her. But then here comes the missionaries. Here comes YWAM. Here comes the missionaries over in China. They're the ones that are called to touch and to be Christ in the iron, and to be Christ, his hands and his feet, to be the heart of Christ in the community. And here she is. So she's there. And the Bible again says that she reaches out. She touches. And she says, if I could just touch him. And the Bible says, once she'd done that, immediately, at that time, her bleeding dries up. I love that. Some translations say it stopped, but I love dried up. Because when you think of the rain and you think of a puddle and you think about how it evaporates, you can't see it, but it happens. And immediately, her bleeding stopped. In other words, immediately, her condition changed. Her situation was no longer that way. And so how are we seeing past the blood? How are we seeing people in our communities? How are we seeing people in our own family? Because sometimes family is the hardest to witness to. Ray, you out here saving all these kids through Christ inside of you, but you got hurting cousins, nieces, and nephews right in your own family. Many of them don't even know that you know Christ because they knew you before who you were. And so I don't want to hear from you because we used to drink together. I don't want to hear from you because you used to smoke together. And so instead of us praying for them, we just say, forget them. They don't want to know Jesus. And so here she is, and I'm done. She touches, and she's free. She touches, and it ends. She touches, and then Jesus says something sweet. He didn't call her woman. He says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Before that, he's down Columbia Heights with all the people going. And his boys say, all these people around you, how could you ask the question, who touched me? And Jesus knew farewell what would happen probably that morning. How could he not? He's God. And so he goes and he prays, and what he represented for us is not just this almighty, powerful being, but he showed us how our relationship here is to be with the Father. He modeled the relationship, and he modeled the power of prayer and the power of discernment with his Father, and he shows us that this is you also. that no matter where you are in the world doing your missionary thing, that you can be a missionary. You may not sign up for to be with a particular ministry or an organization, but you are a missionary right by the water cooler or the teapot. You are a missionary right there by Starbucks, wherever you hang out on Wednesday evenings. You are a missionary, and God is calling us to see for people. He's calling us to see for those who are bleeding because the pain that they're trying to numb themselves, so they cut themselves. Got kids that are cutters. He's calling us to see because a young man is bleeding who is now serving 42 years in the state penitentiary, and he's only 18 years old. I sat through that trial. He's calling us to believe, to hope for, and to see past the blood of people and allow them to experience the Christ in us. He's calling us to move and to get up in the last days here on the land so that people will know that Jesus lives, and because he lives, like the song says, that we can face tomorrow, that you can get up, that you can do whatever it is God has placed inside of you. If your idea is crazy, then it's God. But don't let anybody stop you from doing what you feel God is calling you to become or to do. Don't let the divorce stop you bleeding because of the divorce. But God says, yo, I'm married to the backslider. I love you, daughter. I love you, son. And I can give you that identity. So two things and I'm done. The first is that God is calling us to see past the blood in other people. And the second one is this. I want you to be selfish this morning on this one. Maybe you're bleeding yourself. Maybe you're wounded. And God says that he's here this morning. You tasted a little bit of him. You tasted a little bit of the barbecue sauce. Because I love barbecue backyards. And I love all my shows on HGTV. And I've seen the ribs. I've seen the smorgasbord. I've seen the whole pig cooking as if I'm watching the game. And Kim says, you watching that again? But I love it. Barbecue pit masters. Thank you, Lord. I was trying to, was that the Lord that told me that? Or that's just me. I'm hungry. Right? We all, you know, thank God for some crazy stuff sometimes. But he's here this morning. And guess what? The smorgasbord is here. And I thank you. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless you. We honor you this morning, oh God. We thank you. We thank you, God, that this morning, Lord, you're calling us to see. You're calling us to see, God, past the blood, past the pain and the wounds of people, so that they may know that Christ lives, and because you live, we can face tomorrow. That society and what they call us, it's not who you've created us to be. I don't have to be a hoe because of what people say. I don't have to be lazy because people say I'm lazy, God. I don't have to become what has happened to me. I don't have to become the abuse and the molestation. I don't have to become that, God. Because of the power of Jesus Christ. That we can go to China, that we can go to Pennsylvania, that we can go all over this world to tell a dying world that Jesus lives. And we thank you, God. Not one is any more important than the other. It's all important to you. It matters to us in U.S. programs what's going on in China. It matters to China what's going on in the U.S. programs. It matters to us what's going on in Chicago just as well as it matters to us what's going on in Newtown. Because it's all you, God. It's all you, God. We will not make a black and white thing out of it. We will not make it racist. We will not make it classism, God, but we thank you right now that even in the midst of all that junk and all of the enemy wants to throw at us, God, that the blood of Jesus Christ still reigns. And that over 2,000 years ago, that the blood of Jesus Christ still has power. And God, this morning, we're asking ourselves the question, do we see for people? And are we seeing past the blood? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.